Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are on the sixth canto, chapter 1, text 61, 62. Yeah, okay. We'll chant together text 61. Drishtva tam kama liptena bahuna parirambitam jagama richchaya vasyam sahashaiva vimohita. Drishtvatam kamaliptena. We got a problem?
What's on the board? Hey!
I was wondering, there seemed to be some hesitancy, and I was wondering why. All right, well, so be it. We're going to chant the Sanskrit for 62. Sorry for the slow on the pickup there, Perusa. Stambhavan. Atmanatmanam yavat satvam yata shrutam. I have to say you did pretty good, actually. Na sasaka samadatum mano madana vipitam stambayanatmanatmanam yavat satvam yata shrutam nasa shaka samadutatum mano madana vipitam stambayan atma atmanam yavat satvam yata shrutam nasa shaka samadutatum mano madana vipitam stambayan atmanatmanam yavat satvam yatashrutam nasa shaka samadatum mano madana vipitam. Yavat satvam yatashrutam nashashaka samadatum mano madana vipitam stambayanatmanam yavat satvam yatashrutam nashashaka samadatum mano manana vipitam. Now we're all on hold, waiting for you.
Stambayan atma atmanam.
Stambayan atma atmanam.
Yavat satvam yatashrutam.
Yavat satvam yatashrutam. Nasasaka samadatum. Mano madana vipitam. Vaishnavis. Stambaya matmanatmanam nasasaka samadatum mano madana vipitam. One more Vaishnavi? No? Okay. Now, what to do? Because the storyline matters. Anyway, we'll do the word for word. Stambayan, trying to control. Atmana, by intelligence. Atmanam, the mind. Notice the intelligence is trying to control the mind. The mind is not in and of itself intelligent. Please note that point. Yavat Satvam, as far as possible for him. Yatashrutam, by remembering the instructions of celibacy, brahmacharya, not even to see a woman. Na, not. Sasaka, was able. Samadatum, to restrain. Mana, the mind. Madanavipitam, agitated by Cupid or lusty desires. Now, for the sake of the storyline, we're going to go back. So, 61. What is the scene? Anyone can set the scene for us? What's happening? Where are we? What's happening? We're in the forest. Who's in the forest? Ajamil, who's a nice young brahmachari. Is he married now? He's married, yeah. Nice, but he's a nice pukka, minding his own business. Sattvic, nicely trained. Okay, what happens? He sees some sudras embracing. Okay, so that's what's happening. The sudra, his arm decorated with turmeric powder, was embracing the prostitute. When Ajamila saw her, the dormant lusty desires in his heart awakened, and an illusion, he fell under their control. Purport. It is said that if one's body is smeared with turmeric, it attracts the lusty desires of the opposite sex. The word kama lipitena indicates that the sudra is decorated with turmeric smeared on his body. I mean, we're going to move on, but I was just thinking. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that if all the books in the world were lost, all the knowledge in the world were lost, like the burning of the library at Alexandria, the famous, you know, one of the wonders of the ancient world, the Library of Alexandria. If all this knowledge was lost and the Bhagavatam remained, nothing would be lost. And Prabhupada said, if you simply read the Bhagavatam, I mean, obviously we want to, you know, you need to know so many practical things, but actually reading the Bhagavatam will make one a perfect educated person, greatest source of knowledge. So, I mean, everything's in the Bhagavatam, even these details of how, you know, it's all in the Bhagavatam, everything's there. I heard Prabhupada personally narrate that he was on the dock when the ship came back bringing Ban Maharaj and whoever was with him back from London. And, you know, they'd gone there and hadn't been able to do much. So maybe they got some signatures that they'd met the Lord, whatever. He asked, can I become a Brahmin? They explained, oh, it's definitely no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And Lord, whatever his name was, said, impossible. So, you know, that's what they came back with. So, and Prabhupada always appreciated that he sent three householder couples and they rocked the world. There was, when they put on the Ratha Yatra, and there was the picture of Jagannath cart next to Lord Nelson column, you know, Nelson at the victory at Trafalgar. It's, you know, it's a big deal, the Nelson column. And it said, Hare Krishna's conquer Nelson column, you know. You know, Prabhupada loved it, you know, Hare Krishna's take London by storm. Three household couples, all they had was firm faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and the words of their spiritual master, and they rocked the world. So, where were we? They weren't able to do much, and they're coming off the boat. Interestingly enough, I heard Prabhupada narrate the story. I personally heard it. First thing Prabhupada saw as they were coming off the gangplank was they were in Western dress. And Prabhupada said, ah, we have gone to change them, but they have changed us. And it was confirmed that when they got in the car, Ban Maharaj said, Prabhupada sitting with Srila Maharaj, I don't know how they were arranged in the car, but they're in the taxi or whatever. And Ban Maharaj turned and said, they asked many questions we could not answer. And Prabhupada turned to Srila Maharaj and said, you know, just quietly, you know, what question isn't answered in the Bhagavatam? So here we find, you know, even random details of the art of seduction are contained in the Bhagavatam. So I don't want to go too much further on that verse, because we are trying to learn another field of knowledge. So here's the translation for 62. Also, I'll read it, and then maybe I'll say, I guess I'll read it, and then you can follow. As far as possible, he patiently tried to remember the instructions of the Shastra, not even to see a woman. With the help of this knowledge and his intellect, he tried to control his lusty desires. But because of the force of Cupid within his heart, he failed to control his mind. Also, you say, as far as possible, he patiently tried to remember the instructions of the Shastra, not even to see a woman. And Prabhupada would often say that, you know, for the man, the woman is Maya. For the woman, the man is Maya. So, ladies, we're not just picking on you. You can switch it. The men are equally foolish and attractive. It's, what is it? Equal opportunity employment for foolishness. So, okay. Without the help of this knowledge and his intellect, he tried to control his lusty desires. Because of the force of Cupid within his heart, he failed to control his mind. And Prabhupada's purport. Unless one is very strong in knowledge, patient, and proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior, controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult. Thus, after seeing a man embracing a young woman and practically doing everything required for sex life, even a fully qualified Brahmin, as described above, could not control his lusty desires and restrain himself from pursuing them. Because the force of materialistic life, to maintain self-control is extremely difficult, unless one is specifically under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. Om Agyanata Madandasya Agyana Agyana Salakaya Chakshushi Militangena Tazari Shri Gurave Namaha. I was thinking that we don't realize it, but we are in the fight of our life. We're actually in a fight for our life. One of the qualities of the soul is stamba. Krishna uses it in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. And it means steady or stable. And I was listening to a tape, and Prabhupada was describing that prema becomes kama, everything becomes perverted reflection. That which was highest becomes lowest in the material world. So the perverted reflection of that quality of becoming, of the soul being steady, stable, unaffected, sober, all that, those qualities, the perverted reflection of that in the material world is that we become stubborn and we become satisfied whatever our condition. Prabhupada gives the example, the man is in the hospital. He's got a high fever, he's got to be wearing diapers, he's got a bedpan. And on Wednesday, there's a particular young nurse who comes and changes his bedpan, and he's feeling very happy. His friend asks, how are you? And he says, oh, I'm just fine, Prabhupada says, what is this fine, Actually, I was walking over here, and I am feeling the effects of time. I am admittedly nicked and scraped by the forces of time. And I was carrying this bag, and a nice young brahmachari said, oh, can I help you carry your bag? And I was thinking, I said, you could carry me, And then I was thinking, this actually is a bag. I'm lugging around this bag. Rukmini describes it, with all the nice fragrant substances decorated with a mustache, So, and I don't even have a mustache. So, we're in a very unfortunate, precarious, difficult situation. Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan in Boston at the temple, and he, just because it's my duty to tell some Prabhupada stories, it was completely afield, but remind me, I want to get back to this little bird in Boston. Okay, you have to help me get back on course. But it's a nice story. Sometimes on the Asasans, they have a nice umbrella, ceremonial umbrella. So somehow or other, they got that off the Vyasasan in the temple, took it all the way out to the airport, And, you know, there was a tarmac, so Prabhupada came down the, you know, the, you know, steps and then was walking. So they were out there holding this umbrella over him. And they got it inside. Prabhupada was in the VIP, there were newspaper reporters, and somebody was there holding the umbrella behind Prabhupada, you know. Prabhupada's walking to his car through the airport. They're behind him with this big, you know, and it's a big awkward thing to get this big umbrella, you know. Prabhupada got in his car. They got in the van, raced back to the temple as fast as possible. I mean, it was a nice, you know, the mood was very good. So when Prabhupada got out of the car, again, they're there with the big umbrella, you know. Well, this time Prabhupada's kind of checking it out, you know. So then they got in, you know, Prabhupada's on his Vyasa-san. The devotee, they didn't have time to attach it properly. So the devotee got up on the window ledge and he's precariously dangling over Prabhupada holding this umbrella. You can imagine this scene. Prabhupada looked at it and said, I don't think it's going to rain in here. You know, okay, all right, you know, you're done already, put it down. You know. So Prabhupada was sitting on his Vyasa-san in Boston Temple, which used to be a funeral home on Beacon Street. It really was a beacon, like matchless gifts. So it was a beacon, Om Agyana, you know, transcendental knowledge, the torch of transcendental knowledge. But it was haunted, so no one would buy it because it was a mortuary, you know, where they processed dead bodies. So Prabhupada said, buy it immediately. Prabhupada said, have kirtan, all the ghosts will go away. Kirtan and Kanchso. So that was the temple. Nice location. So Prabhupada looked out his window and he saw this little bird. Evidently, it was winter time. The bird had, you know, missed the memo, time to migrate. So the bird was there in the Boston in the winter, you know. And Prabhupada said, actually, this bird is suffering like anything. And the bird would die, he's suffering so much. But for 1 minute, you know, he finds a little grain or a little worm or the clouds part and he gets a little bit of sun and he thinks, not so bad. So this is actually our condition in this material world. It is a, as they say in the movies, it is nothing to write home about. This material world, Prabhupada said, all the ananda has evaporated in Kali Yuga. It is not, Prabhupada said, the demigods won't even come and pass urine on this planet. It's not even a waste, it's not even a urinal for the devas. And Malati Mataji told me, she was walking with Prabhupada in New York City, and somebody, if they ever have time, should make a tape of Prabhupada's sound effects. I mean, Prabhupada does cats, dogs, frogs falling in wells, blooping in the material world, car accidents. I mean, you think of, I mean, so many far-out sound effects. So Malati said that they heard the sound, you know, of a dumpster. And Prabhupada said, what is that sound? And Malati said, that's a truck, Prabhupada, that comes and picks up all the garbage. It's picking up all the garbage cans and dumping it in the truck. Prabhupada said, oh, they should put the whole material world in there. You know? So we think everything's great, you know? We're thinking, you know, there's the mind and the intelligence. I was saying there's this tug of war. The mind presents so many things. Jai. You know, it's like a menu. The senses are out there gathering all the raw data. They're just, you know, the knowledge acquiring senses. They're out there gathering all the raw data. And it all goes in as raw data into the mind. Like, picture this, you know, the National Security Office or whatever, you know. And the mind takes all that raw data and puts it into plans. Okay, here's what's happening. This is happening, this is happening, this is, you can do this, you can do all the options, the menu is there. And then the intelligence clicks on which one it wants to do. According to the false ego, you know, it makes a selection. So I'm just trying to think of the time factor here. Prabhupada asked, I mean, not Prabhupada asked, Govardhan Prabhu, one of my temple friends when I was a young devotee. Wonderful devotee, wonderful, saintly, kind-hearted. You're very fortunate. There's a joke, and I wish we had more time, but I'm going to tell it anyway. There was a donkey. This is an ISKCON joke. There was a donkey that whatever you asked it, it would nod its head yes. So the king, you know, kings, they have so much money sometimes, and they just offer competitions. He offered a solid gold coin for anyone who could get the donkey to shake its head no. And so many pundits came from here and there and tried. Nobody could do it. Finally, one man came, whispered something in the donkey's ear, and he began shaking his head like anything. No. They said, what did you ask him? I asked him, do you want to be an ISKCON temple president? And I'm telling you, it is, I've done it all. I was a temple, you wonder why I'm half crazy? I've got an excuse. I was a temple president for over 23 years of my life. It is not an easy service, you know? And to have, and I'm talking about Panchagoda, to have a nice temple president who's strong and steady and cares about the devotees, it's not an easy thing. So, you know, we should, you know, go a little easy. You can burst, we're off the field, but it's okay. You can burst into the temple president's office, your mind completely agitated, angry, upset, fried. And he's supposed to be calm, cool, and collected, and calm you down and solve your problems. And rightly so. That's his job, his service. But the temple president can never have a bad day. He can never be a little bit upset. We should never cut him a little slack. No way. So we can't ask for what we're unwilling to give. So I just want to aside to the long-suffering temple presidents out there, thank you and please be kind to them. So my temple president, Govardhan Prabhu in Detroit, really nice person. He asked Prabhupada, what do you pray for when you go in front of the deities? You know what Prabhupada said? I'm praying to Krishna. I'm praying to Srimati Radharani that I will not fall down. Now, I mean, Prabhupada's complaint, Giriraj Maharaj told me a story that Prabhupada had trained him not to waste, you know. It's one of the signs of devotional service. Everything's engaged in Krishna's service. You don't waste. He came back late at night from some program, you know, Bombay traffic, 12 o'clock at night. He saw that the light was on in Prabhupada's room. So he, you know, didn't want to wake Prabhupada, so he just reached, you know, inside the door and flicked the switch off. Oh, hear Prabhupada's voice. Turns out Prabhupada was awake and working at his desk. So he turned the light back on, went in, offered his, I said, I'm sorry, Prabhupada, I just didn't want to, I thought you were sleeping. Prabhupada said, actually, I don't sleep much. He said, and I don't eat much. He said, you know, as far as defending, as far as mating, I'm a sannyasi. Yeah, it's finished. He said, defending, I'm an old man, I just depend on Krishna. So then Giriraj Maharaj said, Prabhupada sat back and said, no eating, no sleeping, no mating, no defending. You know, I took an inventory, and then Prabhupada said, maybe I'm liberated. I mean, Prabhupada was far beyond, you know, Mukti standing at the doorstep with folded hands, you know, what to speak of Srila Prabhupada. But in his humility and to teach us a lesson, there's a man who comes to the temple in San Diego, and he does that, what is it, free form or something, freehold mountain climbing? It's when they don't use any ropes? Yeah. Yeah, but it happens. People do it. And I was thinking, why? I mean, why in the world, you know, one slip, and you know. I asked this guy, I said, you know, don't you have family? Don't you have friends? People care about you? If not for their sake, if not for your sake, for their sake. So I asked him, why do you do it? He said, you are really in the moment. He said, it's almost like a Zen Buddhist, which in and of itself points out that it's foolishness, but that's another thing. He said, you know, you're not thinking past, you're not thinking present, you're not worried about what you had for lunch. He said, you are just thinking about exactly what you're doing. Because you make one mistake, you know, there's no second chance, you know. So, to get this human form of life is a very rare thing. It is not obtained easily. And the alternative, I mean, just one slip. Look at Judd Bharat. There's so many. The Bhagavatam is full of success stories and cautionary tales. So, they asked Prabhupada one time, why is Maya so strong? Anyone know Prabhupada's answer? Prabhupada said, because your purpose is weak. Prabhupada told the story. You know, you see those pictures. of Prabhupada as a young man? Of course, he's an American, he's a long-gone actor, Omar Sharif, you know? But Prabhupada was quite handsome as a young man, you know? I mean, he was always effulgent in his own, you know. But he, as a young man, materially, Prabhupada was quite handsome. And you see that picture of on the Days, you know, that advertisement for Days ointment. We asked Prabhupada what was in it. Prabhupada said 90% water. Anyway, so Days liniment, you know. So Prabhupada was riding on a train. I heard him narrate the story personally. And there was a prostitute who was working the train. I mean, that was her sankirtan spot, you know. And you've got a lot of men traveling alone, you know. It's nighttime. They're alone in a compartment, you know. Good facility for her work. So Prabhupada's just minding his own business, minding Krishna's business, chanting or whatever, as a householder. And he said, all of a sudden, this prostitute came in and sat down next to him. And, you know, we have the, you know, they know their art. You know what Prabhupada did? Prabhupada said, I closed my eyes and I chanted as loudly as I could. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada said, when I opened my eyes, she was gone. I mean, she figured, I'm not getting anywhere with this customer, you know. This guy's, forget it, I'm moving on, you know. But Prabhupada's purpose was strong. And because his purpose was strong, Maya was weak. So, you know, this combination of the mind and the intelligence, we have to understand our actual precarious position, where we are at. I mean, there's a wonderful section in the Bhagavatam. He's talking to Maharaj, Narada Muni's talking to Prachini Barishat, who's a little proud. I mean, he's a king. I mean, we're proud, certainly myself. I'm proud for no reason, you know. If I can find it back, if I can get my way back from Walmart with a GPS and a Boy Scout, I think, oh, I've conquered the world, you know. So in Kali Yuga, what have they got to be proud of? Everybody with a brain has already gotten out of this world. I mean, you're all great Vaishnavas who've taken birth to spread the Sankirtan movement. But for myself, I'm a dummy who hasn't found the door out yet, in spite of all facility. So we've got nothing to be proud of in Kali Yuga. Everybody with a brain got out already. So Maharaj Prachini Barishat, he had actually had something to be proud of. So we're all proud. And with that pride, you know, we can't hear it directly. So there's a description, you should read it. And Narada Muni is explaining this material nature allegorically, you know, the hole within which one doesn't come out, the spinning wheel and the river that flows in two directions. He's a whole description, that alone, of how dangerous and terrifying this material world is. It's an actual analysis of what our condition is. We are not in an easy place. So, let's see here. Oh, when I was a guest coming to the temple, Prabhupada gave a nice example about material life, how it can look good. We have to have a fail-safe mechanism. You know, like in the media, like a newspaper, like when they're interviewing somebody on television or radio or whatever, now online or whatever they're doing, if they're a good system, they've got like, I think it's a 30-second or whatever, 60-second time delay. So if the guy says something, you know, if they say something offensive or, you know, they can push the button and catch it before it goes out on the public airways. There's a time delay system, a moment of clarity. We also need, between the mind and the intelligence, there has to be a fail-safe switch, a moment of clarity. That, oh, so many ideas are coming in. Wait a minute. Where does that lead? Where does it end up? This is the human intelligence, a sense of time. I'm not just, you know, stimulus response, like Pavlov's dog. I meant to have intelligence and think, wait a minute. And Prabhupada's example is, suppose you're invited to someone's house and they greet you at the door, Shanai Ban, intoxicated elephants, nice garland, fantastic. And you look inside and there's every type of snack item you like, green coconut kachoris included, jalebis, samosas, whatever's dancing in your head right now, it's there, offered nicely to Krishna. You think, fantastic. and promises, but you see that behind the door, hiding, is a man with a stick ready to beat you in the head as soon as you walk in. Will you still walk in? What will you think? You will run as fast as you can, isn't it? But we're thinking, well, you know, Jarasandha, was it 17 times? The 18th time, Krishna wouldn't even give him the time of day. Krishna just turned his back and walked away. Like, 17 times, my friend, wake up. It's not going to work, you know. But we're like that. How many times? It's not going to work. No. This time. I mean, we see it. People come to the temple in distress. You know, distress, need of money, simply curious, and those seeking knowledge. Four types of people surrender to me, Krishna says in the Gita. And people in distress, because when someone comes to devotional service, just by the regulative principles and a regulated life, a sattvic lifestyle, the mind becomes peaceful. And what do they foolishly conclude? Oh, I'm on top of it now. I was suffering, but now I've got some knowledge. I'll go out and I'm on top of my game now. We see it all the time. And they go right off the cliff again. So Mukundada Prabhu was explaining very nicely about within the heart, you know, the lusty desires lying within the heart. Prabhupada gives example, if you have a basket of poisonous snakes, cobras, in a basket, and you put the lid on it, after a while, what happens? They're all angry and hissing and, you know, you leave the lid on them. What happens after some time? Kids, don't try this at home. What happens? They all quiet down. They quiet down. They do, I don't know what snakes do, but they're just lying there, not making noise. And if you think, oh, they must be peaceful now, and stick your head inside the basket, what's going to happen? You know? So we should be aware, if you want a graphic picture to carry home with you, news you can use, we've got all those lusty diseases. It's like a basket of poisonous snakes. It's got a lid on it. You take the lid off, what's going to happen? You know, it doesn't take rocket science. So we had a temple, a little preaching center, Ann Arbor, Michigan. The University of Michigan is there, good school, 40,000 students at the time. And we had a professor who used to come to the temple. Nice guy. I don't know whatever happened to him. He's probably dead by now. Maybe he's a brahmachari somewhere. You never know. Or a householder. So he really liked Bhagavad Gita. And he wanted to stay. Well, I want to take it short. And the point is, he said that the Bhagavad Gita was the best study of human psychology. This guy had a PhD, which means permanent head damage or prominent humility disorder, but he had a PhD, you know, in psychology. He was the head of the sociology department for University of Michigan, which has one of the best departments in the world. And the guy was a top of his game. And he said that Bhagavad Gita, the description of the human, the modes of nature, and he really liked, he said Krishna's describing, you know, human activity, he said it's both prescriptive and descriptive. Good terms. Prescriptive and descriptive. If you act in this way, act in the modes of, you know, what are the, if you act in the mode of nature in a particular way, here's what the symptoms will be. You know, morose, you know, lazy, full of lamentation. If you're in the mode of passion, burning desires, like in mode of good. So if you're in this mode, if you act in this way, here's how you'll feel. So it's descriptive. Act this way, this is what's going to happen to you, buddy. No surprises here. And yet it's also prescriptive. How to get out of that. Okay, you don't like being in the mode of ignorance. You don't like being in the mode of passion. Here's what you do. Here's how you act in the mode of goodness. So it's both descriptive, describing the condition, and prescriptive, how, you know, like a prescription, like a medicine, how to get out of it. So he said it's the most profound human psychology in the world. Best thing he'd ever read. This guy graduated from Harvard, you know? So this was another sequence that I've always liked and he also liked. What happens, Krishna gives it in Bhagavad Gita, Psychology 101, actually it's the PhD in psychology, by contemplation of the objects of the senses, what happens? What does Krishna say?
Attachment.
attachment. Naturally. You contemplate it, you think about it. Yeah, okay. Then what happens? If you contemplate it long enough, what happens? What's the next step? From attachment comes lust. And what happens? What's the next step after lust?
Anger.
Yeah, when our desires are thwarted, you know, thwarted or whatever it is, from frustration. So first there's contemplation, then of course you get attached, and after attachment grows into lust. And when that lust is frustrated and you become angry, then what happens? Bewilderment of memory. You know, and there's passion killings. People kill their own son, they kill their brother, they kill their wife. People do all kinds of, they kill themselves. There was a guy who jumped off the Coronado Bridge in San Diego. The thing is huge. And the man survived. He actually survived. I mean, his whole body, every bone was practically broken. And he said, they interviewed him in the paper, and he said, I was overwhelmed with unsolvable problems. He said, but as soon as I stepped, that's why I committed to it. It seemed unsolvable. He said, as soon as I stepped off the railing, he said, I realized that all my problems could be solved except for the most immediate one. You follow? Yeah? There wasn't much you could do about the law of gravity, you know? So, passion killing people, even kill themselves. So, okay, bewilderment of memory, what happens? Intelligence becomes lost, and what happens? One falls into the material whirlpool. So, I mean, it's a sequence. It's a law. You want, there's laws of mathematics, laws of chemistry. Here's a psychological law of inertia. You set the ball in motion. What is a law of inertia? That thing will stay at a state of rest until acted on by an outside force. It will continue in that law of motion unless acted on by another force. Once you get the ball rolling, it's not going to stop until it hits something or you grab it. Law of inertia. Once you start the psychological cycle from contemplation, unless it's stopped by intelligence, where is it going to end? We had a guy, John Madagany. Did you ever meet John Madagany? Yeah, okay, fine. He's nodding his head in knowledge. He envisioned himself as a great poet. And he wrote a poem as he left the devotees and the temple that we were all know-nothings and dimwits, and he was going to go show the way to spiritual life. And his note was, I know not where I goeth, but I'll be where the wind bloweth. He's going to go work for Hallmark Cards. I know where this guy's going, because he's not going to make it as a poet. So, I know not where I goeth, but I'll be where the wind bloweth. Now, in America, the phenomenon is the same anywhere. If you toss out a piece of paper and let it blow, where will it blow? Does it blow up? Does it float up into the heavens and to Devaloka? Where does a paper, if you let it blow, if you let it goeth, where it bloweth, where will it blow? Right into the gutter. Right into the gutter. So if we're not vigilant, if we're not seriously aware of our actual condition, if we let the mind, if there's not that fail-safe mechanism of intelligence, wait a minute, where is this going? We're going to wind up in this cycle. Contemplation, attachment, attention becomes lust, lust becomes anger, anger becomes bewildered memory, intelligence is lost. And how did I get here? Well, there it is. So, and another thing is that we're free. That's what's really irksome, is that we're actually, Prabhupada gives the example of the lion. You know, the lion is, Prabhupada was walking in the zoo in Calcutta for a morning walk, and Guru Kripa, I believe, I don't want to be unfair to Guru Kripa, but as I recall, it was Guru Kripa. You were there, and he was throwing rocks at the lion? Check, confirmed by an independent witness. And he wanted to make the lion roar, I think, or something. Who knows what his motive was?
Teasing
him. And Prabhupada said, he's suffering enough. He's king of the jungle, you know, king of the, and here he is in this cage. Leave him, you know, Prabhupada's feeling, you know, could understand the psychological state of the lion and was feeling compassion for him, you know. So, but do you know why? You see the lion tamer with the whip, you know, with the, And the lion, a lion has its mane. You know, and Prabhupada, again, everything's in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says in one of his purports, the lions are quite proud of their mane. You know, if you wanted to know the psychological state of the false ego of a lion, even that's in the Bhagavatam. So, and for a lion to jump through a hoop of flames, you know, it's dangerous. The mane catches on fire, but they do it out of fear, out of, they're jumping, you know. Prabhupada said, if that lion, the reason they're jumping, again, everything Prabhupada was explaining, they don't know where the sound is coming from. They don't quite make the connection that, you know, what is, and they've been hit by the whip, they know that it hurts, and they don't know where the sound, so they're disoriented and afraid, and therefore they're in that compliant state. But if they realize, wait a minute, it's the guy with the whip, and it's one sting and doesn't hurt that much, I mean, I can knock his head off with one swipe. And it happened. There's this guy, this Siegfried and Roy. They're famous. They're famous lion tamers. They have an albino Siberian tiger. And please note, I use the past tense. The thing just turned on him one day in the middle of a show. It just said, hey, I'm out of here. I'm done. I had enough of this. And just mauled the guy. Said, forget it. I'm not jumping to it. I'm not doing it anymore. In fact, I've had enough, and I'm taking it out on you. When we realize, what are we jumping through these hoops for? You know, mating, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which is paltry in comparison of spiritual happiness, doesn't last. You have to work so hard to get it. It's full of hankering. It's full of lamentation for one moment. So many factors. Think about it. Just put it on a pan balance. Work with me. Put it on a pan balance. You know pan balance scale? To get material happiness requires so many conditions. I used to surf. Prabhupada says, you say surfer, I say sufferer. And it's a fact. To surf, you have to have so many conditions. The weather has to be right. The water has to be the right temperature. It has to be the right swell. Has to be coming western swell, southern swell, northern swell. Has to be coming in the right direction. Can't be a wind. Has to have the right kind of bottom. Can't be a coral bottom, rock bottom, sand bottom, reef break, point break, all kinds of stuff. You know, it can't be too crowded. You got everybody, you know, too many people. So you got to get all these factors have to line up, and maybe you get a couple good waves. The famous mantra, because it's always shifting. The weather changes, the tide changes, wind picks up, blows out the shape of the waves. The mantra used to, anyone who surfs, used to surf, will remember this. Should have been here an hour ago. It was great. So all the conditions you have to get together for a little bit of happiness. Just to have a little sex at night. I'm sorry, I'm being graphic, but we're in a graphic section, you know? To maintain the house, to maintain the children, to keep the wife happy, the wife to keep the boneheaded husband happy. So many stupid demands. We have, I don't want to mention her name, she's actually initiated devotee, nice lady. Her husband was telling me, my wife loves me so much, she's from South India. She makes me this nice almond burfi. And to make this almond burfi, the traditional style, takes 2 hours. And he says, she makes it for me every week, a week's supply. 2 hours over a hot stove, my wife loves me so much. He was out of earshot. She told me, I learned how to make it in the microwave, takes 20 minutes. But she doesn't tell him, you know. She's smart, you know. Let the guy think, you know, oh my, you know. So, you know, we got the boneheaded husband, we got the boneheaded wife, and everybody. You got to get the whole thing together. The house, the car, the mortgage payments, that. For what? 15 minutes at night if you're lucky. And then you get too old. I mean, you know, and then you're left with all the baggage. So many conditions, and what do you get out of it? Devotional service, anywhere, any condition, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, on your deathbed, in the womb. Doesn't matter. And it's completely sweet, unbeatable. Because I said something a little harsh, maybe about Guru Kripa. He wrote a very nice poem about the taste of devotional service and serving the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Short sutra, sweet, sweet, can't be beat. What a taste, them two lotus feet. Very nice. And actually, Guru Kripa and his team, Banabhattapur being one of them, actually built this building we're sitting in, you know. Prabhupada's inspiration, Prabhupada's Shakti, all of that, no doubt. But they worked hard, and we got this building. So sweet, sweet, can't be beat, what it tastes, them two lotus feet. And you can get it in any condition. Whereas whatever you have is just flip pale by comparison. So, again, time factor. When I first moved into the temple, we did not follow the morning program. We didn't have a morning program. I think we got up around 6:30, 7 o'clock, and then we would take a shower, and we would go in, and then we would sing the Guru Vastakam prayers. And this is 1970, and I was in Los Angeles at the time. Either that or I'd just gone to St. Louis, I forgot exactly. And we got a letter from Prabhupada saying, "This is the morning program." And he announced 4:30 a.m. Mangal Arati. We were in shock. And Prabhupada's last line, or second to last line, says, "You follow this morning program, it will be a bulwark, a defense against Maya." Prabhupada uses this word bulwark, a defense. And if you think of the dikes, you know, in they call them the lowlands, you know, the Netherlands or whatever, you know. What is the default mode? If you remove those dikes, what happens to Amsterdam and whatever it is, Holland? What happens? Huh? Ladies, what happens? The dikes fall? What happens to the... Come on now, help me out. They're called the lowlands. Immediately they're flooded by the ocean. Immediately. Prabhupada, if the light goes out, do you have to call darkness? Prabhupada's example, immediately darkness is there. No doubt about it. So in the similar fashion, the default mode of this material nature is the mode of ignorance and passion. Mahatattva was created in the mode of ignorance, out of the mode of ignorance. So that's the default mode of this world. So Prabhupada said this morning program, it holds back that flood of the lower modes of nature. I mean, devotees fell asleep. The temple president had to stand by the Vyasasan when we would offer flowers, because we'd offer pranam, you know, full dandavats. Devotees would fall asleep. He'd hit the floor and the devotee would wake up. You'd fall asleep. One devotee fell asleep cooking. And heat shield. There was a hood. And it was Sudam's brother, younger brother, fell asleep in L.A. His head went against, so luckily he didn't get burned. And his bead bag went right into the ghee. He cooked up, little charcoal brick, cooked up his japa mala. No? Vishnu Jan Maharaj, we stand on the shoulders of giants, and he is one of those giants. Vishnu Jan Maharaj, you know, at the end of Arti, Jai Om. He fell asleep on the drone, on the harmonium. Poor man was exhausted, you know. So, but Prabhupada, you know, after a while we got a taste and you got an ability. Prabhupada said about Mangal Arti, if you can't stand, sit. If you can't sit, lie down, but come to Mangal Arati. I mean, that's... Find me a loophole there. If you can't stand, sit. If you can't sit, lie down, but come to Mangal Arati. No, I mean, obviously, if you're seriously sick, you know, take care of yourself. We're not, you know, crazy fanatics. But in general, Prabhupada said, I heard Prabhupada personally say, I feel half dead till I take my morning shower. So, you know, the mind tells you so many things, you know, a snooze button, you know, whatever it is. You finally take a shower. If you're really sick, you'll feel bad after the shower. You'll feel sick. Lie down, fine, lie down, rest. You know, we're not dummies. You know, take care of yourself, no problem. But you usually be fine. No, I don't feel, I'll go to Mangal Arati, I'll take a nap afterwards. You see the beautiful deities, you think, well, I'll chant a little japa. Then you chant, well, it's almost time for class. I might as well sit through class, and hey, as long as I made it this way, I might as well stay for breakfast. And by that time, hey, you made it, you know? So, I guess we'll just do this. All right, we're going to do a quick thought exercise. You ready? Do not think of the color red. Don't think of the color red. How'd that work out for you guys? Huh? Anybody successful? You're still thinking the color. I'm still thinking the color red. Now, don't think of the color blue. What happened? We're all thinking of blue. So the point is, you can try to restrain. You can't do it. You add something positive. Don't think. That's a trick question. Immediately you think of it, you know? If we just engage in devotional service, the senses are uncontrolled. But it's what Cupid has, the different arrows, the different senses, when we chant Gayatri, the mind, the intel, you know, all the different senses, you know, Kamadeva, Krishna's the original Kamadeva. If you just absorb the senses in Krishna's service. So, I guess I'll end with a theme. There was a, we should be both hopeful. I mean, Ajamil, he fell down into a very miserable condition. But by the power of the holy name and his good qualities in the beginning of his life, Krishna saved him. So we should get as much in our bhakti bank account as we possibly can and take shelter of the holy name, and that will not go in vain. Einstein probably used to say, wherever he is now, you know, E equals MC squared, biggest brain there ever was, or whatever, you know, and he's sitting in first class, you know, elementary school. If Sally has 4 apples and Bill takes 2, how many are left? And he's counting on his, you know, he's right back where he started from at ground zero. But devotional service, whatever we do, we pick up where we left off. And hey, guess what? We may actually make it. We may make it. We may actually go back to Godhead in this life. It is possible. Not only possible, if you just follow. So, we should be very hopeful. We should be very confident that everything else ends in zero. You got to start all over again. And it's not taken from us kindly. Old age is not for sissies. It is not easy. You're old, diseased, decrepit, smell bad, nobody likes you, nobody wants you around, teeth fall out. You got to think 15 minutes before you take a bite out of anything. Are the teeth going to last? Can I digest it? How will I feel in the morning? I mean, come on, you know? So, on one hand, Prabhupada told me personally, it's like sitting on a fence. You know, Prabhupada gave the example of a razor's edge, a moment's inattention, immediately you cut yourself. We're marginal tattva. Prabhupada said we're sitting on a fence. What happens if we lean this way? We'll fall that way. What happens if we lean this way? Huh? You'll fall that way. According to which way you lean determines which way you fall. Prabhupada said, just lean towards Krishna. Yeyatam mam prapadyante. Krishna promises and he'll pull you. At a ratio of 10 to 1, Prabhupada said. Such a deal. So, we should use our common sense. Understand our condition. Prabhupada wrote, and we're going to end here, 2 quick Prabhupada statements and we'll be done, I promise. Breakfast will still be there, the khichdi will still be warm. Prabhupada said, there's a wonderful letter that someone's asking Prabhupada questions about Tulsi Devi, and the person asked like 24, 30 questions, right? You can look and do this, search it on folio. You know, like Prabhupada's an answer man, you know, it is, you know. But anyway, it was not, at least they're asking the right. So the Prabhupada asked 3 or 4 the main ones. Prabhupada nailed the main ones, you know? And then Prabhupada wrote, for the rest, use your common sense. But the sweet part is knowing us oh so well. Anyone know what the other thing is? And Prabhupada says, and if you don't have common sense, ask someone who does. So here's the main questions. Okay, use your common sense and hate knowing us oh so well. If you don't have any common sense, ask someone who does. So we should always, if we don't do anything else, take shelter of the sadhu sangha, of devotees who are more advanced than us. Take their advice, follow their example, stay in their association, and it will all work out. Whatever the problem, whatever the issue, if we keep nice association, sooner or later, it'll all work out. How can it not be easier than that? Prabhupada said, on the other side, and this is the last one, Prabhupada said, you know, because we're just skating. We think, oh, I'll pick it up next life, I'll be whatever, you know, whatever we're thinking. We're skating along. You know, tomorrow, tomorrow. One man said to Prabhupada, sooner or later, I will take up spiritual life. Prabhupada immediately came back, better sooner. Do you know you have a later? Anybody got a certificate from Yamaraj? So we're all skating. Prabhupada said, I'll forgive you once. I will forgive you twice. Prabhupada said, the third time I take off my shoe. So hopeful, but don't be loose. Don't be frivolous. Don't be foolish. And remember, Jad Bharat, zing. And Ajamil, he wasn't delivered immediately. Zing, you know. Off he went into a horrible life as an enfeebled old man. Zing. So don't take a chance. Then the devotee countered, you know, Prabhupada said, I'll forgive you once, I'll forgive you twice, third time I take off my shoe.